Thank you, Reverend Kelvin, for that beautiful introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. 5 weeks ago, we started on the sermon series, Being God's Community. And Reverend Kelvin started with how we should belong to God in a community setting. And then we had Mrs. Raj speak on being a community that's welcoming and open and being a community of witness. And then our sister Veronica shared with us on being a community that continues to grow in holiness before our Lord. And today I'll be speaking on being a community of worshipers, how we can grow and perhaps engage and even participate in worship as a community. Before I go on, allow me to clarify two types of worship. Worship's a very broad theme, but if I could really break it down into two types of worship. Firstly, we will have the more personal, silent approach of worship, very devotional, the kinds we do it in on our own. And then there is the more corporate aspect of worship, where it's more of us gathering like we are doing today. And it's often loud, it's often exuberant, very expressive, and very God-encountering as we worship together with a large assembly of people. Both are very similar in its outcomes, but their approach and methods are very different. For today, when I mention the word worship, I would be implying the gathering of worshipers together. So just bear that in mind as we move on in sermon today. Of course, in your own personal worship to the Lord, you may want to do things very much differently, and that's fine. If you want to be still before the Lord and worship Him in silence, it's also okay. Many instances in the Bible writes about David, especially in the Psalms, alone crying out in a cave and waiting on God and being still before the Lord. But for today's message, for the sake of today's message and community, that overarching theme, we will learn and see how a community truly worships the Lord as vibrant and expressive in our worship as well. And some steps we can take to focus in and some handles we can have as well to learn about worship today. And we'll be learning from the people of Judah. The lineage of Judah runs through. King David comes from that line. And of course, we know Jesus ultimately was birthed into that lineage as well. Let us pray before we carry on. Father, I thank you for the lives that are here this afternoon. I thank you for their hearts of worship to begin with, Lord. And God, we seek you for clarity and direction for all things. And today, even as I share the word with them, I share your word with them, Lord. Let it fall on good soil, that you may bear much fruit, Lord, and be trees that are planted, that are strong, and have great foundations for you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We say this afternoon, we love you with all that we have. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. In 2010, a survey was done over 7,000 churches across the U.S. and was published in this book called The Transformational Church. In it, written by Ed Stetzer and Tom S. Reiner, in it, 75% of people surveyed through this book strongly and moderately agreed to the following statement: that we see evidence of God changing lives as a result of our worship services. We see evidence of God changing lives as a result of our worship services. Now, 75% of people to agree with this statement in a survey is mind-shattering in itself. That's to say, three-quarters of this room agrees that worship in itself contains some elements that could change our lives profoundly. And by the way, this chapter of the book and this survey was done just mainly on the context of worship in a service setting. So there's the one on missions and the one on community building and cell groups and so on and so forth. But this one was particularly the one that spoke on music, singing, or liturgies. So 75% of people agreed to that. When I was approached by Reverend Kelvin to speak on the topic of how a community of worship is, and I kind of never really give it a lot of thought of how a community of worship kind of looks like, because to me, I always thought the church was that community of worship. So I really got into this mode where I was like, how would 4:30 Saturday service kind of look like, feel like, as we approach this topic? And so naturally, I jumped on Google. I did a bit of image search. I think all of us would do that if you need to know how something looks like. I always found a bunch of people lifting their hands and very intense in the way they were worshiping. And then, because I was Google searching worship, and then I tried, okay, let's Google search community of worship and see what happens next. And it's kind of the same thing. Still a lot of hands for some reason being lifted up, people's expressions and their faces, really intense look as they approach worship. And especially this guy in worship, very, very intense. Oh, boy. Thank God he sees past my ugly. But simply put, we are that community of worship. And Jesus says it best in Matthew 18:20. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down as well. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Today, let's learn from the people of Judah as a community how they worshiped the Lord. If we look at scripture today, reading from 2 Chronicles 20 all the way down, I know it's a lot of verses, it's a whole story in it. Some of us might have fell asleep through half of it, but it's okay. I'm reading from verse 2, and some man came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you. And verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and Judah assembled to seek the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, if you need to know a bit of the context of what was happening, please go back and read 2 Chronicles 18 and 19 and the lead up to it. Basically, King Jehoshaphat had an alliance with King Ahab and of Israel, and both of them went into battle together. King Ahab didn't survive that battle. He died. But King Jehoshaphat kind of had a narrow escape and came back to his city of Judah. And sometimes it's kind of like that with us. We have a narrow escape with a circumstance or a situation in our lives, and we thought it's gone past us. Thank you, Jesus, it's behind us now. But then some men would come along and say, it's back in your face. And kind of what King Jehoshaphat was battling with, and that was the context of the story as we read into chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. King Jehoshaphat knew it was painful, and this time if the army comes to him, to Judah, he's not going to survive it. He knows it's done, he's a goner, it's game over for him. And then in verse 4, the people of Judah gathered. They did not isolate themselves, as it were. They did not pack their stuff and run off when they heard that armies were coming to occupy their land. They chose what was right to do, and they knew the king's need at that point, and they knew the kingdom's need. And they gathered, they showed up as a community, kind of what you guys are doing here today, and all ready to seek help from the Lord. And that brings me to the first point of my sermon today. The people of Judah, they gathered humbly with their needs before the Lord. See, a community of worship gathers with their needs, and they are humble. They are the humble ones. Today, I don't know how many of us gathered here have needs. I'm sure many of us do, some more pressing than others, some battling with finance and family and illnesses and sicknesses that won't go away, and you think you've cleared the first round, but it's coming back again for you. And it's okay. I want to let you know that today it's okay to bring your worship along with your needs. And bring your needs along with your worship in this place. Hebrews 10:24 writes and tells us, hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful to us. And let us consider then how we can stir up one another in good works and love, and not neglecting to meet each other as some have the habit of doing so. But don't neglect to meet together and encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And today, I want to encourage you, it's a good thing that you're coming together as community to worship. It's already the first steps of what the people of Judah did. And you may not have needs here in this place. Everything may be going pretty okay for you financially or in health-wise or whatever. But let me share with you one of my constant needs that I adopt when I come into worship. One of the principles that I learned at a very young age, also as I come into a place of worship, I see a pure and a very perfect and holy God. And in that, it kind of reminds me that my pride has no business in that place of where he stands. And my need is always to be more like him. And I know that process will never end, and I never stop asking for it until the day he comes or I die and go back home to him. But it's my need to be more and more like him, and I fail him almost every day in my thoughts and my deeds and my actions and so on. I don't have it all together most of the time, but I think as we approach him humbly, we kind of lay down and say, it's not about me anymore, Jesus, it's about you. And David writes in Psalm 51 that, you know, Lord, you do not delight in the sacrifices of men, because if you did, I would have brought it. You take no pleasure in burnt offerings as well. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. That, O God, you will not despise. James 4 writes the same thing. 1 Peter writes the same thing. That God, you oppose the proud, but you give much grace to the humble. And a famous Christian author that I love to read from, he has many books written out, Rory Nolan, he says this, you know, it's often the prideful person who says, God knows my heart, and I don't have to sing, I don't have to bow, I don't have to kneel or raise my hands to prove that I love him. And it's often the prideful person who says this, and I've got to be very, very honest with you today. I've said this many times before, and then it occurred to me when I read the book of Luke 12 that Jesus says, if any one of you acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But if any one of you denies me before men, I will deny before the angels of God. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, okay, God. It was never about me to begin with. It was always about you. And today, if you bring your needs with humility before the Lord to seek him, we're doing exactly what Judah did. And I'm here to say you're on the right track. Some 15 to 17 years ago, when I was about 18, 19, I can't really remember. One night, I was struck with this massive headache that was not just a normal headache. It was kind of like almost paralyzing in nature. So bad that I woke my parents up and I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. Like, Panadol is not working for me.
So my dad rushed me to A&E and so on and so forth, and that was a SARS period in Singapore, so they didn't ward me. They kind of put me in a tent outside and on a bed, and they just drugged me up with strong painkillers and sent me home with painkillers as well. Every time I would take the medication, it would kind of wear down a bit, but I could feel the pain, and I was bedridden for a bit. And my fiance was sitting here. She also doesn't know this story. I probably never told her. But anyways, it was weeks in and out of A&E, and the doctor's doing the same thing. And this is, you got to remember the context, right? Singapore, back in the day, they gave me a 3 months wait for a brain scan. And I was like, I think I'll be dead by the time I do that scan. And one Sunday, I decided to just show up at church. I was missing church for a bit because I couldn't like really handle myself. I took the medications, I went to church, and then you know the worship music was going on, and at the time, that kind of headaches that hit you would be, you hear any music, it's kind of like, you know, and I kind of suffered through the service, kind of, you know, God, I shouldn't have been here, it was a mistake, and so on. And the pastor kind of, before he closed the service, called me up, and I remember that, like, my first thoughts was, what? Singling me out like that and calling me out in front of everybody, and I felt really, like, self-conscious and stuff. I came to the front, and I remember I stood with my brother, and the church kind of knew me because I was visible, and I was a musician at a very young age, and so they kind of know me. And so the church kind of rallied and they prayed with me. The music was still going on at the time. And I remember just falling on my knees because I was just overwhelmed by the need that I needed Jesus. And even when doctors said they didn't really know what was going on and all I had was painkillers. And at that point, I think I kind of learned that I needed him, and I was a man that I couldn't do anything without him. And cut the long story short, there was a famous doctor back in the day worshiping at our church. I think he still does. And my parents kind of called him and said, could you push a brain scan earlier? And, you know, so he got me the next week's slot. And I tell you what, I kid you not, the next day I woke up, I was fine. But I thought it was the drugs that were still in my system. So you know, I was like, oh, okay, let's try the next day. Tuesday came, it's fine. Didn't take any meds. And Wednesday came, I was perfect. I told my mom, hey, cancel the brain scan. We won't need it. I'm claiming that God has healed me, even as I gathered with the community of worshipers that day. So today, if you've got needs, bring them to the Lord. Lay your pride down at the door and worship Him. For He's the God that answers prayers. Again, they gathered humbly with their needs. That's point one of my sermon today. Point two, moving on. See, the people of Judah knew their God. I'm reading from verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to verse 5 or 2 Chronicles 20. In the house of the Lord and before the new court, and he said, O God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the nation, and in your hand power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to us forever, to your descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, even if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famines, we will stand before you and before this house, for your name is in this house. And we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. I'm jumping on to verse 12. And Jehoshaphat continues and says, O God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. What was the king doing in the gathering of his people? He was testifying of who God is in his community. And the people of Judah know their God very well. And King Joseph had prayed, recognizing God and all his works that he's done in the past, and how he's seen Israel through all these years. And his logic is kind of clear. Because if God had done great things for his people in the past, he can prevail and he can do great things for his people at a great moment of their needs. If God had done great things for his people in the past, he can do great things for his people at their moment of great need. Jehoshaphat, a king standing before his people, openly confessed that he does not have all the answers. And his only answer was to trust on God, that God's power and his goodness will protect and save them in their time of need. If you want to read on, you can go back and take this down as well. In verse 10 and 11, I kind of skipped through those verses, but if you want to read it, the context was in Deuteronomy 2, if you were to read that. Basically, Judah and the Israelites were not allowed in Deuteronomy to kill any of the people in Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And in Deuteronomy, it says they were afraid. These people, Ammon and Moab and Seir, these communities, they were afraid of the people of Israel as they were coming in. And the Lord said to them, you're not allowed to take advantage of them, basically. So even if you pass through their land, you can buy water with money, on food for yourself with money as well. So go back and read that on your own time, and you will know the context of where it was. Basically, King Jehoshaphat was just telling God of who he is and his promises, and reminding the Lord of his promises of who he is and what he's given to the people of Judah. Today, many of our worship songs say the same thing in a very different way. Of course, accompanied with music and so on. But many of our worship songs are written in a way to explicitly say that we are at a loss. We are approaching in utter humility before the Lord. And if we sing to you, Lord, you would come and rescue us. Veron and her team, they love to do this song. We raise a hallelujah. I don't know how many of us kind of remembers it or from the months past, but we sing it even in the presence of our enemies, Lord. We would raise a shout of cry to you, and we would raise our hallelujahs, Lord. For you are a great deliverer, and we claim on that, and people of Judah knew exactly who their God was. And many of our songs frame this and help us put in focus our worship before the Lord. So be encouraged today to learn the songs that we sing in worship services. Be encouraged, get on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube streaming and so on. And go and listen to these songs and make them part of your daily routine. How I like to do devotion in my own personal time would be the Word of God, and then I would plug in my earphones and just worship over a worship song, and I'll just listen and just let the words wash over me and draw my heart in. All this builds faith in a Christian. And worship is so crucial as a spiritual discipline that every Christian should have it. King Jehoshaphat understood this perfectly. He also knew that in humility he had to approach the King of Kings, the King that's higher than him. And he said, "We do not know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are fixed thoroughly on you, Lord." One of my worship heads, when I was a younger musician, used to tell me this. He said, if you miss the worship component in your service, you basically brought nothing to the table of the Lord. And I think he was telling me this because I was showing up late for worship. But anyway, in a sense, he kind of said, you didn't bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. See, the declaration of who our God is and what he can do in our life is very, very key as a worshiper, and even as a community of worshipers. It's important for us to know that the inward encounters with God fuels our outward expressions with God. See, our outward expressions, the things that we do, the kneeling of when we bow down and worship him, the lifting of our hands in surrender and humility to the King, it all stems from a real inward encounter. You've got to know him. I can't tell you about it. You've got to know him for yourself. And I've tasted and I've seen, and that's why I kind of worship like a crazy person. But the outward expressions come from a very inward encounter with God. And I've worked with many worship teams through the years and worshipers, and I'll tell you this, the ones who kind of lift up their hands and go a bit crazy are the ones who have really encountered him in their hearts, and they know him, and they come from a place where they were in need and God delivered them. And the people of Judah were like that. King Jehoshaphat knew his God. So that was my second point of this sermon today as we journey to become a community of worship. My third point is this. Judah was fearless in their worship. Reading from verse 14, if you're following along. Meanwhile, Jehoshaphat was calling on God and declaring that what he knew about God, and God kind of spoke, let his spirit speak over Jehaziel. And it's kind of in that kind of moment when we have worship and it's kind of just the music going on and there's no lyrics on the screen or anything for us to aid us or follow along. And it's in those moments where we allow time for the Spirit of the Lord to kind of descend upon us and kind of inspire us with a prophetic word or prophetic language or anything like that, but it's being released in the atmosphere that will change our lives to a certain extent or builds us up with faith and brings hope into our dire circumstances. And Jehaziel, in the scripture, it says, he stands up and he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde that is coming against us, Judah. Because the battle is not yours to fight, but it's God's." And imagine the assembly of people hearing this. And I only can imagine the freedom that kind of resounded in that place and a war cry that came out from there to know that our God is on it. He has not forgotten us. That when we cry in our moments of need, he is there for us. And sometimes he leads us through wilderness and strange valley places. That when we are out of it, we're going to love him more. And he's saying, I'm leading you through. You're going to love me more. You're going to know me more. You're going to set your eyes on things that are eternal when it's done. When I pull you through this, you're going to set your eyes on what's eternal and not what's on temporal anymore. And what a joy it is for us to know that. And maybe some of us here in this place needs that prophetic word being spoken over you and over your situation, that the battle is not yours today to fight. The battle is God's. And I'll tell you something. What was the community's response? What was Judah's response when they heard that the Lord is on their side? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, they worshiped the Lord. Just turn to the person beside you and say, they worshiped the Lord. Their community's response was to worship. King Joseph had bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped him. It was like on their knees, and they raised a hallelujah. And then in verse 19, the Levites stood up. And it says they praised the Lord with a very loud voice. Turn to the person and say, a very loud voice. Very loud voice. Yes, James. Worship is loud. I have news for you. I'm so sorry. But worship is loud. Some of us would have a problem with this, and you know, some of us might complain and so on and so forth, but you've got to understand the context of where it's coming from. Worship has to be a desperate cry from our hearts to the Lord. And worship is loud. In Revelation 5, it says when the angels gathered around the throne, and the living creatures and all the elders gathered around the throne. Now there were 10,000 upon 10,000 of them. And in a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise. Revelation 11 again says this. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. And then Revelation 19 again says this. After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice. John writes this down. Of a great multitude in heaven crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belongs to the Lord. They all sounded like Reverend Calvin in their loud voices. John was a frail man at the time when he was writing his glimpse and his account of heaven. And when he mentions this, I don't think he was complaining about the loudness of where he was standing. And he used to describe it as thunderous and flashes of lightning and earthquakes, and heaven's worship is generally loud. And it should be that way when the people of God come together and worship Him. It should be a level of excitement and worship as we bring our needs before the Lord, as we begin to know who He is and how He's seen us through thus far, and how we've even made it here to sit on this chair and the pews here. How else was the Jericho walls going to come down, right? When Joshua told his people, you know, seventh trumpet blow, you raise up a mighty shout, and they saw your breakthrough. Today, some of us really need to raise a shout, a victory cry in this place, and begin to see our breakthrough come. The people of Judah were fearless in their worship, and that's my 3-point sermon for you today. They gathered humbly. They knew their God. They brought their needs before Him. And the people of Judah were fearless in their expression of worship. And King Joseph had stood and said in verse 20, hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. You will be established. Believe in His prophets and you will succeed. And then when He had taken counsel with the people, He appointed those to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord for His steadfast love endures forever. Now this song sounds very familiar to us. I think they've been singing it from the days of Judah, and we're singing it now. And one of the favorite songs that I love to do when I lead worship is Forever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Kind of says this in the first verse, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. And some of us here are really struggling with a need, and I want to let you know that your fight is not in the physical realm anymore. Because it was kind of crazy for King Jehoshaphat to send his army before, his worshippers before the army came. It's like us going to war tomorrow and we sending Linda, Veron, Karen, and Wendy as our forefront leaders. And then came the battle plan and all the strategies of men. The worship came before that. And I want you to see today, if we could be fearless in our worship, then let God handle the rest of it. Because our battle is not in the physical, as it were, in the days of Judah. Today we don't fight physically. In Ephesians 6, it says this, you do not wrestle with flesh and blood anymore, but you wrestle against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, against present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil, even in the heavenly places. And for us to know that even when we're surrounded on every side, that our fight is not in a physical war, we fight it in the spiritual. And how many of us know that what we do in the physical kind of affects what happens in the spiritual realm? If you don't know and you're hearing it for the first time, know this. What we do in, what we exercise in the physical realm here, in the lifting of our hands, bowing down of our knees, our surrendered hearts before the Lord in adoration to Him, affects what happens in the spiritual atmosphere. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, people, but against things that are unseen. And in Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the New Testament, read this on your own time. Paul and Silas, they knew exactly what was going on when they were thrown into prison. They knew it wasn't a physical fight. They knew it was a spiritual fight. And that night, they raised up a war cry in that place. And it says in Scripture that they were praying and singing songs and spiritual songs before the Lord, one to another. And it says, it records it clearly, that the prisoners, the rest of the guys that were in the cell and the guards who were there, they heard them. So they had to be doing it quite loudly. They were fearless in their worship that day. You could chain my hands up. You could throw me behind bars. But it ain't going to stop my worship to the King of Kings. And they lift up a shout of praise in that place. And the prison doors swung open and they were free and they were walking out of it. Today, some of us need to lift up our cries to the Lord and fearlessly do it with our hands lifted up in worship before Him. What we do in the physical affects what happens in the spiritual realm. And our worship, every word that we say, every lyric that we sing, they are like swords and kind of like fire to our, to the angelic forces that are at work. And the Lord is saying, you won't have to fight this fight. All you have to do is worship. And I've got your back. How wonderful it is to know it. In 2012, I had an opportunity and a great privilege to meet a bunch of people who were radical in their worship, lovers of Jesus. And they used to hold their worship gatherings on a Wednesday night, and this was on the third floor, so it's a small shop house along South Bridge Road. It was called The Loft back then. Two floors of restaurant and cafe space to eat cakes and so on. And the third floor was an attic, and we gather there and worship and raise our hallelujahs in that place. One night we decided to do an overnight worship and prayer. And I joined in late. I came about 2 a.m. and just kind of strolling in there. And they have already gone full on in worship and praying. Not much of us there, less than 20. And the worship leader was kind of leading his song. And this, I'm bringing you forward, it's about 4 a.m. in the morning right now. And all the older ladies in that place were like just wrapping themselves up with shawls and so on. Some of them were like falling asleep. But some of the guys and us, I was like worshipping and still praying and just trying to pace myself back and forth so I won't fall asleep. So I got out of the chair and walk in, and it's about 4:30 now, and two girls walk into that place. They were carrying beer bottles. They didn't know what was going on. They walked in, later we found out they heard the worship that was coming out, and the streets, all the clubs and the bars were closed along South Bridge Road, Chinatown area. And they heard the singing that was going on, and they thought it was the only bar that was open at night. So they carried their beers from across the street and from another bar that was closing. They came in and they sat right in the front. And they thought the worship leader was singing songs of love to them or entertaining the crowd. They had no clue what was going on. And in that moment, around 5 a.m. in the morning, the Spirit of the Lord fell strongly in that place. And the two girls just started weeping. And they felt the presence of the Lord come in that room. Even as we were battling what seemed like the physical, but was really happening in the spiritual realm. And that ladies that were there, they were from Taiwan, they were visiting Singapore, and they were tourists in that place. They just came, they wanted to have a good time out. Pretty intoxicated when they walked in, they sat in front, fell in the presence of God. One of our sisters released over them a prophetic word, kind of like Jehaziel in that moment, and we prayed with them in the little Mandarin that the community there knew at that time, and tried to tell them this and that, and we walked them through. And basically, to cut a long, long story short, they found Jesus that night, or that morning. Be fearless with your expression of worship today, church. Our battle is not in the physical, but it's in the spiritual. And our battle is not us carrying our swords and running out and killing people, but it's in the spiritual realm. And all we have to do is worship. Would you stand in this place today, even as Linda leads us to worship the Lord today? As a community of worshipers, as we've gathered here with our needs and humbly before the Lord, Lord, we are asking you, God, meet us in our time of needs, Lord. And we're crying out to you, and we say we do not know what else to do, Lord. But we fix our eyes on you, the perfecter, the oiler of our faith, the one who comes to redeem us. And we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the one who has already bought everything that is to be bought for us. Your righteousness that cover us in this place, Lord. You give us the boldness, the freedom to be fearless in worship, Jesus. And as we gather as a community here tonight, today, Lord, would you come and move in this place? Move like never before, Lord. If you can save people just in the moments of worship, Lord, you can do the same with us. is your name in all the earth.